Welcome back, good people. Welcome back to Clutch Time with Mike on the mic. It's your boy Mike, and I'm back with another episode. As you know, of course, we're going to do our NFL predictions for the week. And I also want to touch on this whole controversy with Draymond Green in the game last night against the Suns. And I also want to touch on what Cam Newton said on his podcast yesterday that's got the sports world up in arms and up in flames. Everybody has something to say about what he said, whether or not he's qualified to say it, which I do think he's very qualified to say it. While I don't agree with what he said, he can say what he said. He's definitely qualified to say what he said. So we'll get into that in just a second. But first, we're going to go over these NFL games. The Thursday night game, which is tomorrow, December 14th, we got the Chargers and the Raiders, and Justin Herbert is out for the rest of the season for the Chargers. I mean, they weren't playing that good with Justin Herbert. Like I've been telling y'all all season, I'm not a believer in Justin Herbert after that playoff game against, I believe that was the Jaguars last January where they gave up that big lead. Yeah, I'm just not a believer. And I'm not a believer in Brandon Staley either. And if the rumors are true, real quickly, if the rumors are true about Bill Belichick and the Patriots parting ways at the end of the season, if I was Los Angeles, hey, Brandon Staley, it was cool. It was nice knowing you, but you're fired, and I do whatever I have to do to go sign Bill Belichick. And like I said last year, when Sean Payton was out there, they didn't go get Sean Payton, which I think would have definitely been an upgrade over Brandon Staley. But if they can't go, if they can't get Sean Payton, then why not get the GOAT, Bill Belichick? So if the rumors are true about him leaving New England and he still wants to coach, which I'm sure he does, I think he wants to break that record with for most wins by head coach that Don Shula has. I believe it's like 317 wins. And I think Belichick is maybe 17 win or eight. He'd need 18 more wins. I think he's got exactly 300 wins, so he'd need 18 to break that record. And if he takes over the Chargers with the talent that they have and the way he coaches, I think he could easily get that record within 2 years. But give me the Raiders in that game. It's the worst versus the worst. Yeah, give me the Raiders in that game. I like them a little bit better than the Chargers. And then Saturday, December 16th, we got the Vikings and the Bengals. The Bengals have been surprising to me. I thought that once Joe Burrow went down that they would just tank and give it up for the rest of the season, but they haven't. They've won two straight games since he's gotten hurt, and they play – it's in Cincinnati. They're playing the Vikings, and the Vikings have come back to earth. I know Justin Jefferson came back last week, but I believe he went right back out with another injury to his chest. So I don't know what his availability is for this week. So if he does play, it'll be Justin Jefferson versus Ja'Marr Chase, two of the better young wide receivers in the game. Not going up against each other, but just seeing who has the better game between those two. If Justin Jefferson plays, give me the Bengals in that game, though. I think the Bengals defense is better than the Vikings defense, and I think that they've got a little groove going here offensively with Ja'Marr Chase and their quarterback. I believe his name is Jake Browning, and I can't even think of his name. Joe Mixon as the running back. So we'll see how that one goes. But I got the Bengals in that game. And then we got the Steelers and the Colts. I texted my boy Tim earlier today just to ask him what he would think of it if the Steelers at the end of the season fired Mike Tomlin and ended up hiring Bill Belichick. Would he like the hiring? He said no, because Bill Belichick is old and stuck in his ways, which he probably is. I mean, he's done it his way for 20-plus years. It's got him 6 Super Bowl rings. So 6 Super Bowl rings, and I think he went to 9. So, I mean – his way obviously works, but maybe in today's NFL might be a little outdated. So I don't think that the Steelers are going to fire Mike Tomlin, because they're just not an organization that fires coaches. I believe in their entire history, they've had 3 head coaches. I believe it was Chuck Knoll was the first coach, and then Bill Cowher, and then Mike Tomlin. I think those are the only 3 coaches they've had in their entire franchise history. I could be wrong about that first coach, but I know it's been Mike Tomlin and Bill Cowher as the 2 coaches. And if I said the second coach wrong the first time, I meant Bill Cowher. He's on CBS now, being as a pregame analyst. I don't think the Steelers are going to fire Mike Tomlin, but They're gonna have to make some changes, something. They're gonna have to do something because they're way too talented to be the way that they are. I know they have issues on offense with the quarterback and with the receiver, George Pickens. We're saying he needs to grow up and he's a little bit immature. But if you know, you know, all wide receivers have some kind of diva and they all feel like they should be throwing the ball every play and that they're always open when they're not. But I mean, that's just how they're wired, that's how they're built. They're playing against the Colts in Indianapolis. I think there still is a bounce back and win that game. I think TJ Watt will show us who TJ Watt is, and he'll go off and impose his presence on the Colts. So I got the Steelers in that game. And then the other Saturday game, Saturday night, is the Broncos and the Lions. Give me the Lions after that loss that they took to the Bears, shockingly, last week. I didn't expect them to lose that game, so I'm sure they're chomping at the bit to get back there on the field. The Broncos looked good there for, I believe it was five games in a row that they won, but then Russell Wilson turned back into what Russell Wilson has been the last 2 years. I think he threw three picks in that game that they played Sunday. And the Lions, like I said, they should be in the conversation for Super Bowl contenders. They have a good great defense. A serviceable offense, like they can put up points. I wouldn't sleep on them in the playoffs. And they play in a dome, so it's not like they're going to be out in cold weather or anything. And Jared Goff is showing that he definitely belongs in the NFL. He belongs as a starter. And I believe their coach name is Dan Campbell. Definitely should be up for Coach of the Year for what he's done there in Detroit, which has traditionally just been a dumping ground for NFL for NFL careers to go die. Yeah, give me the Lions in that game. And then Sunday, the first game of the day is the Texans and the Titans. Shout out to my Titans for pulling out that win on Monday against the Dolphins. I just knew we were going to get destroyed because of what the Dolphins have been doing offensively. But I'm not going to lie to y'all. When we were, I believe it was tied 13-13, and then we muffed that punt, and they scored really easily like three plays later. And then the pitch to Derrick Henry that was behind him, and then it was considered a fumble, and they recovered it, and then they scored like four plays later. When it was 27-13 with like 3 minutes left, I was like, oh, I'm going to change the channel. I don't need to watch this. We're about to take another L. But then when I changed it back, we were only down 27-21, and then we stopped we stopped the Dolphins, got the ball, went right back down the field, scored again on a Derrick Henry touchdown, and then we stopped the Dolphins. We were playing that prevent defense, which I hate. Gave up two quick first downs, and then we finally buckled in and played real defense, and we stopped them. They threw a little a pass where I believe it was Raheem Mostert or maybe it was Devin Achane, one of the two that caught it. And when you start to go east and west against a fast defense, you're going to get tackled. I believe it was 3rd-and-2 or 3rd-and-3. He got tackled. And then he got tackled inbounds. He only gained a yard, so it was 4th-and-2. And then Tua stepped up on 4th down. He tried to step up in the pocket. He stepped right into the defender and got a sack. We ended up winning the game 28-27. So shout out to my Titans for pulling out that win in Miami. We're playing against the Texans. The Texans are 7-6, squarely in the playoff hunt. We're 5-8. We'd have to win out to at least have some kind of semblance of a chance at maybe a wild card. I don't think we can win the division. I think that's too far gone. My heart is telling me to pick the Titans, but my head is telling me to pick the Texans. I'm going to go with my head and pick the Texans. They've just been more consistently. They've been more consistent all season. We haven't. We've just been up and down. Like I said, Will Levis came out in his debut and threw 4 touchdowns. And then the 5 games after that, he's looked just like a rookie. Now, he had a decent game Monday. He did drive us down on those 2 touchdown drives to get within 6 and then to actually take the lead. So I'll give him credit for that. But let's see if he can put 2 good games together in a row. But I'm still taking the Texans in that game. And then the Jets and the Dolphins. Give me the Dolphins in that game. I think they realized they let one slip away on Monday, so they'll bounce back and destroy the Jets. The Jets are just not good without Aaron Rodgers. That defense can only do but so much. You can't keep telling your defense every week, you got to go out here and win the game. Every defensive squad is not built like that. Now, like the 2000 Ravens, you could tell Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and them boys to go out there and do that, and they would go out there and do it, and you'd see a slug fight or a slug match, and the Ravens would win the game like 13-10 or 13-6, something crazy like that. The only touchdowns that the game scored was the defense either forcing a fumble or catching an interception or something like that. There's not many defensive teams that's been built like that since 2000. The only other defensive team I think that has been built like that in the time that I've been watching football outside of the 2000 Ravens is the 2013 Seattle Seahawks. Outside of that, I haven't seen any defenses that dominant. Give me the Dolphins in that game. And then the Buccaneers and the Packers. The Packers had a heartbreaking loss on Monday against the Giants. They kicked that field goal with no time remaining after they had went down and scored to take the lead, I believe, 22-21. They ended up losing 24-22 because the Giants went down and kicked the field goal with their third-string quarterback, who I feel sorry for Giants fans because once what's my man's name? Daniel Jones, I believe that's his name. Once he comes back from his injury, then you guys are going to go back to being truly irrelevant because you've seen that with Tyrod Taylor and this kid, the third-string quarterback, y'all have been way better offensively with them two at the pulling the strings, pulling the controls of the offense. So sucks for Giants fans. But the Buccaneers and the Packers, it's in Green Bay. Give me the Packers in that game just because I'm not a believer in Baker Mayfield. I believe a little bit more in Jordan Love than I do Baker Mayfield. I just think Baker Mayfield is trash, to be honest. I just think he's all talk and he talks a big game and blah blah blah, but he's not good. I mean, he was good in college because he was playing with, you know, a historically great university at Oklahoma. He had all the athletes in the world, and Lincoln Riley was his coach. Excuse me. And Lincoln Riley was his coach, and Lincoln Riley is an offensive genius on the college level. So, yeah, give me the Packers. And then we got the Giants and the Saints. Give me the Giants to go on a two-game winning streak there. The Saints they don't look good. They don't. Even their defense doesn't look that great to me. Just from the eye test. I don't know the stats or nothing like that off the top of my head, but just from the eye test, they don't look like the same defense that they've had in years past. And without Drew Brees and Sean Payton, they are excuse me, y'all. Without Drew Brees and Sean Payton, they haven't been the same team offensively for a few years now. So give me the Giants in that game. And then the Falcons and the Panthers. The Panthers are 1-12, so I fully expect them after Sunday to be 1-13. They don't have anything. Like, they don't have a defense. They don't have an offense. They don't even have a good coaching staff in place. If Bill Belichick leaves the Patriots, I'm sure teams will be knocking down his door trying to get him to come be the head coach. And for Carolina to have somebody like Bill Belichick come in there and instill what the GOAT head coach would want his team to look like, I think that would be good for Bryce Young, because I think Bill Belichick is in the same mold as somebody like Nick Saban. I feel like Nick Saban and Bill Belichick are the same people, just Bill Belichick in the NFL and Nick Saban in college. And Bryce Young went to Alabama, where Nick Saban is the head coach. So I feel like it would be good for him. It probably would feel a little normal to him to be playing for somebody like Bill Belichick. So if I was the Panthers, I would definitely be trying to get him. That's if the rumors are true, if he decides to leave New England after all these years. Then the Bears and the Browns. Give me the Browns in that game. It's in Cleveland. Yeah, give me the Browns. The Chiefs and the Patriots. Give me the Chiefs after that crazy L that they took against the Bills on Sunday. Now, the Bills score, the Chiefs get the ball, and you automatically think, oh, the Chiefs are about to go down and either I believe it was kick a field goal to tie the game or to score a touchdown. And of course, Patrick Mahomes doing what Patrick Mahomes is doing. He's driving him down the field. And this is where the controversy comes in. Now, me, I get it. I see it from both sides. So what I'm talking about is the Chiefs lined up and they scored a touchdown. They pitched it to Travis Kelce. He caught the ball. He immediately turned around. And then he pitched it to Kadarius Toney, who scored a touchdown. And they threw a flag as soon as they snapped the ball. And the ref said was offsides. And as soon as I heard offsides, I'm thinking defense, touchdown counts. And then he points to the offense and he says Kadarius Toney's number, which I think he's 19. And I'm like, that's crazy. I very rarely heard of an offensive player being caught offsides. But when they showed the replay, he's clearly offsides. And I immediately went on Facebook and said, well, if Kadarius Toney did what we've taught kids from the time they're in peewee ball, when you line up on the line of scrimmage as a wide receiver, check with the ref to make sure that you're on, that you're set, that you're not within the neutral zone. And I was like, if he didn't do that, that's definitely on him. Then, of course, the next day a video came out where he shows where he checks with the ref. Now, I don't know if the ref signaled to him that he was good, and then he threw the flag. I couldn't see that part, but he checked with the ref, and I don't, like I said, I don't know what the ref said, but you can clearly see he was like, his foot was covering the ball. His head was definitely in the neutral zone. And then Patrick Mahomes was mad because he was like, why would y'all say something if you knew he was offsides? That's not the ref's job. And I know that Andy Reid came out and said that the refs always tell him, hey, your guy's lined up off sides. You know, if he keeps continuing, we're going to throw the flag. And they usually tell him, and then the coach would go tell, hey, you're lining up off sides. You need to back up a little bit. Whatever the case may be, that's not the ref's job. That is your job as a coaching staff, as a quarterback, to see, especially if you're on the sideline, oh, he's offside, timeout, timeout. Hey, you were lined up off sides. Get set, back up a little bit, check with the ref, make sure he gives you the thumbs up before you look back into see where the ball is at and all of that. That could have been avoided. So while I don't feel sorry for the Chiefs because, you know, I just don't. Like I said, I see it from both sides because you want the refs to be on your side to tell you, especially in a moment like that. But you can't expect the refs to be out to bail you out because your professional football player is lined up in the neutral zone. Sorry. And then I know people were mad because the very next play, they showed a picture. Von Miller was clearly lined up in the neutral zone, but the refs didn't call it. I don't know if it was the angle where it showed it looked like he was offsides, but from what I could tell, he looked like he was offsides. But again, I wasn't there. I was watching on TV. But too bad, so sad. It is what it is. But give me the Chiefs in that game. I think they'll destroy the Patriots in New England. And then we got the 49ers and the Cardinals. The 49ers are coming off destroying the Philadelphia Eagles, and I believe they had a bye week this last week. They beat the Seahawks. Excuse me, they beat the Seahawks. They were not coming off a bye week, but they're going to Arizona and give me the 49ers. Right now, to me, the NFC Championship game is going to be the 49ers either versus the Eagles or the Cowboys. It just depends on which Cowboys team show up in the playoffs, and if the Eagles win, even though the Eagles lost to the Cowboys Sunday, if the Eagles win out, then they still will get the NFC East and probably end up as the number two seed because they lost to the 49ers. So if they end up with the same record, the 49ers have the tiebreaker. So that's that. But give me the 49ers in that game to end up going 11-3. And then the Commanders and the Rams, give me the Rams. The Rams have looked better since Cooper Kupp has got back. And I did see when they were playing the Ravens that Aaron Donald still commanding triple teams. So Aaron Donald still as dominant as he wants to be. The Rams look like the Rams for most of that game. They just lost on a crazy punt return touchdown in overtime, which, you know, very, very rarely happens, especially to end a game like that. But give me the Rams. The Commanders have just looked in shambles for weeks now. The Cowboys and the Bills. Now, let me preface my comments in my Stephen A. voice. Let me preface my comments by this. While I'm not a fan of Dak Prescott and I'm not a fan of the Cowboys because Cowboy fans just make it hard to like the Cowboys. Dak Prescott should definitely be in the MVP conversation. If he's not leading the MVP race right now, then that's just people being a hater and not just looking at it objectively. He definitely has been balling. He has been balling his butt off for the last few weeks. I don't know what the stats are, but it's some crazy completion percentage, touchdown to interceptions. And I believe they've won, I think it's like maybe 6 games in a row, something like that. I think they won like 6 games in a row. And he's been balling. And he destroyed the Eagles on Sunday. He's just been on point with the ball. He's reading defense, getting the ball out fast. Him and CeeDee Lamb are on a different level right now. So they should definitely be – he should definitely be in the MVP conversation. And CeeDee Lamb should be in the conversation for Offensive Player of the Year. It should definitely be in consideration for top 5 receiver in the NFL right now. With all that being said, they're going to Buffalo, and Buffalo is fighting for their playoff lives. Give me the Bills in that game. I think the Bills will come out quick, fast, and in a hurry as long as Josh Allen can keep the turnovers down. I think that they could beat the Cowboys. I think that they have the defense to do it. I think they have enough offensively to stay with the Cowboys as far as the score is concerned. And because it's in Buffalo, if it was in Dallas, I think I'd pick Dallas. But because it's in Buffalo and the Bills are trying to get in the playoffs at 7-6, they really can't afford to be 7-7 after this weekend. So give me the Bills in that game. And then the Sunday night game is the Ravens and the Jaguars. The Jaguars, I believe, have lost 2 straight. I know Trevor Lawrence is hurt. And the Ravens look like they are rounding into form, and Odell is starting to look like Odell Beckham, the Odell Beckham that we know and love, that I thought for the longest time was the best wide receiver in football, who was for sure, if he'd have kept his career up the way that he was doing in New York, was going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, all of that. But injuries and him being kind of immature in his own way, getting, you know, sent from New York to Cleveland and then getting hurt, 2 ACL injuries within 2 years. So that kind of set him back. But being around back in the form and get back to the Odell that we know, then he could still make it to the Hall of Fame and still put up numbers. give me the Ravens in that game, even though it's in Jacksonville. Like I said, the Ravens are rounding into form. Lamar Jackson is starting to look like Lamar Jackson. That defense is starting to look a lot better. Give me the Ravens. And then the Monday night game is the Eagles and the Seahawks. Give me the Eagles with the bounce back. I think that they have a nasty taste in their mouth about that loss to the Cowboys in Dallas. And like I was saying earlier about wide receivers being divas, the report was that at halftime of the Eagles and the Cowboys game, A.J. Brown was fussing at Jalen Hurts about getting him the ball this, that, and third, and he called him the B-word. And while I'm pretty sure Jalen probably just swept it under the rug, emotions were running high in a big high-stakes game, stuff like that, if I'm a head coach, I nip that in the bud right away. Hey, what we're not going to do is we're not going to act like that we're going to force-feed you the ball and throw off our offensive rhythm, because that's not the way the offense works. We're not going to just dial in on one receiver and throw him the ball every time. That's just not how it works. And if you any great wide receiver will tell you that, if A.J. Brown, he's one of the top receivers in the game. There's no question about that. There's no refuting that. But if you want to be in that upper echelon of receivers that go down as the all-time greats, you got to realize that you being as good as you are is going to draw double teams and triple teams if you're that good. It's going to open up opportunities for other wide receivers on your team and tight ends and running backs and all of that. And then when you get your one-on-one chances, you have to win those. And the few times while I was watching the game, I wasn't keeping a sure eye on it, but I was watching. Every time I saw A.J. Brown get open, either he dropped the ball or it was overthrown. So the ones that he dropped, that's on him. Like, bro, if the ball hit you right in the hand, you should have caught it and kept it moving instead of fussing and complaining about you not getting the ball. The opportunities that you did get, you were dropping the pass. So that's on you. But give me the Eagles in that game with a bounce back against the Seahawks. I see them winning that game big. I think the Seahawks have reached their potential for this season. I believe Geno Smith is hurt, so I don't know who their backup quarterback is. I can't even think of his name. He went to Missouri. I remember that. He used to throw up the little Samoan thumb up and pinky out sign, like the money sign. I can't remember. Drew Lock was his name. Drew Lock. Yeah, he wasn't good in Denver, and I don't think he's going to be good in Seattle. Just a career backup guy that's holding on for dear life in the league. But give me the Eagles in that game. So we're going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to play y'all the clip from the pot or the Cam Newton podcast so you can hear what he said, and I'll give you my thoughts on that. And I'm going to also give you my thoughts on the whole Draymond Green situation last night. All right, y'all. So we're back from break. The Los Angeles Lakers stressed me. When I was recording the first segment, when I checked it before I clicked record, they were up 15. And then once I got done recording, I checked it again. They were up 7, and then they just won the game by 3 points. Like, oh my gosh, stressful, 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 stressful for no reason. But like I said, in this segment, I'm gonna play this Cam Newton clip about what he said about I believe it was Brock Purdy, Tua Tagovailoa, Dak Prescott, and there was another quarterback in there that he said were game managers. And of course, there was a lot of conversation all day about him saying what he said. And like I said, while I don't agree with what he said, he has every right to speak his opinion because he was in the NFL. He played at the highest level and he did win an MVP in 2015, went to a Super Bowl, won a national championship in college at Auburn. So, I mean, the man knows what he's talking about. So let me play this clip for y'all.
Lamar Jackson, obviously Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy, but Brock, they're not winning because of him.
He's not turning the ball over.
He's managing the game. And if we were to put that in its own right as game managers, Brock Purdy, Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, and really Dak Prescott. These are game managers. They're not difference makers.
And when you say game manager, I'm not asking you to go out and win the game. I'm just asking you not to lose.
Not to lose the game. Listen, motherfucker, I don't give a damn what you do. You don't have to score every time. You just don't have to throw a pick every time either. If we're gonna really call a spade, a game manager is different than a game changer. Lamar Jackson.
All right, y'all. So that's what he said. It was Jared Goff was the other guy. So he was saying Jared Goff, Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy, and Tua Tagovailoa are game managers. And while, like I said, I don't agree with what he said naturally, because Cam Newton said it, and Cam Newton at this point right now is not in the NFL. He wants to get back in the NFL and play, and he'd be a backup somewhere. And that's where a lot of the conversation went towards today, because it sounded like it was just sour grapes on his end because I believe it was Kimberly Martin who said on Get Up This Morning, she was like, but he's sitting at home on a couch wanting to be in the NFL talking about these guys are game managers. And like I said, all these athletes that are coming out with their podcasts these days and coming out being on shows, they have to say stuff to get their podcast views and likes and listens. So they're going to say stuff that's controversial. And what he said, like I said, while I don't agree, I get where he was coming from. In the case of Brock Purdy, you could say Brock Purdy is a game manager, but Brock Purdy has shown that he can play with the big boys. And obviously this year, I mean, the 49ers have a ton of talent. They have a great defense. They got Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle as his weapons on offense. But I still think if you take and you put let's do it this way. I think if you take and you put Cam Newton there, then I don't think that the 49ers are having the success that they're having this year. And I only say that because off the top of my head, if I'm not mistaken, Cam Newton in his career only had three winning seasons. Three. He had the Super Bowl year, And then I believe he had a season before that and a season after that to where his team had a winning record. So I think Cam Newton and Kyle Shanahan's offense would unlock a different potential because of his running ability. But as far as passing goes, he wasn't always the greatest passer in the world. I believe he's under 60% completion percentage for his career. I think he passed for somewhere around like maybe 213, 214 yards a game for his career. And in Kyle Shanahan's offense, while the added threat of him running would, unlock a different potential, but Kyle Shanahan is more of the straight-up drop-back passer kind of offense. Like, he needs somebody who can drop back, stand in the pocket, and make these throws for his offense to go. So I think him in that offense wouldn't be as good. And I think Brock Purdy is doing one hell of a job as a kid who was Mr. Irrelevant, seventh-round draft pick, last pick in the draft to come in and do what he's doing. And then he said Dak Prescott. And like I said earlier on the first segment, Dak Prescott – now, had he said this in years past about Dak Prescott, then I would have been wholeheartedly with him. But this season, right now, the Cowboys are winning because of Dak Prescott. He's playing on another level right now. He is out of his mind hot with the way he's throwing the ball, reading defenses, throwing touchdowns, and cutting down on interceptions and turnovers. He is balling out of his mind. So to call him a game manager, a few years ago, yes. When he first got into the league, yes. But to this year, right now, no, you can't say that. And listen to me defending Dak Prescott. But for him to say that about Dak, that just sounded like sour grapes. That's all that sounded like to me. Dak Prescott has been balling his butt off this year. As far as Tua and Jared Goff is going, I mean, Jared Goff has made a Super Bowl before, and Jared Goff can play. I don't think Jared Goff is a game manager. I think Jared Goff can come in and lead a team offensively, throw touchdowns. He's cut down on the interceptions, the turnovers, and everything. I think Jared Goff is a solid NFL starter. While he's not, like Cam said, he's not a game changer. Well, then, yeah, he's not a game changer. So, then, yeah, you could say Jared Goff is a game manager. I'll give him that one. And then Tua, to me, Tua is definitely a game manager. Because I was on Twitter, my boy Wallace, the Titans went down 27-13, I was like, oh, man, that's crazy. And once we went up 28-27, I was like, damn, we scored too fast. We left Tua too much time. And when I said that, he immediately tweeted me. He was like, but do you trust Tua to go down and lead them down to score? And I was like, well, I mean, he's been playing a lot better this year versus he has in years past. But then Tua went out right and proved his point. And threw that pass on third and three, which ended up getting a yard, and then he got sacked on fourth down to lose the game. So if anybody's a game manager out of that group, it would be Jared Goff and Tua Tagovailoa. But Dak Prescott, I think he is 1,000% wrong, and I think he's wrong on Brock Purdy too. Like I say, I mean, he got what he wanted. He said what he said, and he had all the talking heads talk about it. They talked about it on Get Up. They talked about it on First Take. They talked about it on Undisputed. It's been all over Twitter today. They talked about it on Colin Cowherd's show. They talked about it on First Things First. They talked about it on, I think it's Speak for Yourself on FS1 with Joy Taylor and Emmanuel Acho and Shady McCoy. And I forget the other guy that's on that show. But all the talking heads were talking about it all day. So obviously he got what he wanted. He got clicks. He got people listening to what he said. So if that was his goal, congratulations. You did what you had to do. So again, like I said, I don't agree. I think Dak Prescott is playing out of his mind this year, and he's definitely in the MVP conversation. And if anything right now, if the season ended today, I think he'd win the MVP with how good he's been playing. And I think Brock Purdy is not a game manager. I think Brock Purdy I think he's the perfectly fit for what Kyle Shanahan wants to do offensively. So I think he's a game changer because he doesn't turn the ball over. He doesn't make mistakes. He read defenses very well, even for a kid that's only his second year in the league. I don't think he's a game manager. I think he's a game changer. Now, he's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not on that level. Those the elite of the elite. But he is solid. He is good. And I think that, you know, he would be good anywhere in the league because of his NFL IQ. I think he'd be good on any team. That's just my take on it. I could be 1,000% wrong on that. But just from watching him play and watching the way that he processes information on the field from play to play, I think he'd be good in any system and anywhere. Now, granted, he's playing with the 49ers, so he looks phenomenal. But I think if you took him and put him on, say, the Chicago Bears, I think he would still be doing numbers. I think he'd still be doing good. That's just my take on it. And then real quickly, let's talk about this whole Draymond Green thing. And if you haven't seen the clip, last night against the Phoenix Suns, he was – I don't know if he was boxing out or if it was they were on offense or whatever was going on, but – Yusuf Nurkic, I think, grabbed his jersey and he turned around and he turned Draymond Green around, and the way Draymond turned around, he smacked him in the side of the head like a closed fist punch. That's what it looked like. It looked like something straight out of WWE. And of course, Nurkic went down. Draymond ended up getting a flagrant two, got ejected from the game, and then it came out a few hours ago that he's been suspended indefinitely. And why is this significant? Because if you guys watch NBA basketball, while Draymond is known for what Charles Barkley called it, what he calls is a triple single. He'll have 8 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists, and he calls that a triple single because he's not in double digits for anything. But his defense and his playmaking ability is what makes the Golden State Warriors go. I don't think Stephen Curry has 4 rings without Draymond, and I definitely know he doesn't have 2 of those rings without Draymond, and I don't think he has the other 2 without Draymond and Kevin Durant in 2017 and 2018. So his value, while it's not showing, it doesn't show up statistically, but his value on the court is out of this world. But he got suspended indefinitely, and this has just been the history of things. I believe it was in 2016 where he kicked Stephen Adams twice in the groin, and then I believe it was a few years ago he turned the ball over, and the Rockets were running down the court. He runs down the court and he tackles somebody from the Rockets, like he just ran into him, took him down to the ground. He's had some dirty plays. He's poked LeBron in the eye in the finals. He hit LeBron in the face with his shoulder while LeBron was on a fast break. Last year in the playoffs, he stepped on Domantas Sabonis' chest. So he's got a history of this kind of antics. And I know Draymond will say that's just me being me, and he doesn't apologize for anything. Now, he did come out last night and apologize to Nurkic from the Sun, saying, you know, it is what it is, but at least he apologized. So I'll give him that. Him getting suspended indefinitely, I think that's the NBA's way of saying, hey, you need to go get some counseling, do something, because you clearly have anger issues or whatever the case may be. And then, of course, I forgot to mention last year in training camp, he punched Jordan Poole in the face, and that lingered throughout the entire season. And now Jordan Poole is in Washington playing for the Wizards, who are moving to Virginia here soon based off what I read today. So for Draymond and the Golden State Warriors, and Stephen A. said it best this morning, while the blame needs to be 99% on Draymond Green for his actions, that 1% needs to be looking at Steph Curry. Because if you're the leader of the team, you're a superstar among superstars, you are one of the all-time greats, and you're supposedly this great leader and great for basketball, now that's cool. But you as the leader need to pull Draymond to the side like, hey, you're hurting our team by pulling these antics. You getting suspended and you doing all this is bringing unwanted attention to the team. Now you're going to be out suspended. You know, we're already struggling this year to even find any kind of rhythm offensively and defensively. So you being out is not going to help. So if Steph wanted to show some kind of leadership, show some backbone, he'd say something. You don't have to say it publicly, but you can pull him to the side and say what you got to say, and hopefully that changes his behavior. Because me and my boy Dale was talking on Facebook, if Draymond was in Los Angeles with the Lakers, this would not be happening, because we know LeBron, He's recognized, you know, one of the greatest players to ever do it. He's always been recognized as a great leader of his teams. Whether he says it publicly or he says it in-house, he's going to get his point across and say what he got to say. And Draymond, I don't think, would step out of line with LeBron being on the team because LeBron wouldn't allow it. he's either going to send a message to him internally, or he's going to send a message through the media. One way or the other, he's going to get his point across, and it would be up to Draymond to get in line with what he said and do what he's got to do. Steph Curry's not the same way. I don't know if Steph is having conversations with him or Clay or Steve Kerr, whatever the case may be, but then by them not saying anything, then they're enabling his behavior because they'll come out and say, oh, it's just Draymond being Draymond. Well, Draymond being Draymond got him suspended early in the season for 5 games, and then now what happened last night. So somebody needs to reel him in and do what he got to do, do what they got to do. And to be honest, like I said earlier this morning, if the NBA decided to suspend Draymond for the rest of the season, I wouldn't be mad at it. I would understand where they're coming from because what you don't want is you don't want the NBA to turn back into what it was in the 90s and the late 80s where it's basically football on a basketball court. Nobody wants to see that. While granted, old heads will tell you that the NBA was the truth back then and players were way better than they are now, I don't believe that. I think it was just more physical back then, but guys back in the 90s and the late 80s, if you took them out of that era and put them in this era, they would struggle because of the athletes that are on the court. So, yeah, you just don't want what he did last night to become the norm. So that's probably why they suspended him and trying to tell him to go get some help. And I know him, the Golden State Warriors, and his agent, Rich Paul, are supposed to meet, and they're going to discuss what Draymond has to do to be reinstated. He has to go to some classes, get some help. He has stuff he has to do and show that the NBA he's met with whatever their demands are for him to be reinstated. So we'll see how long this suspension goes. Like I said, if it goes for the end of the rest of the year, wouldn't surprise me. I wouldn't be mad. I would tell Draymond, hey, brother, you did it to yourself. You just kept toeing the line, and you finally went too far, and now you're suspended for it. And Kendrick Perkins said today, Stephen Curry doesn't deserve this. He needs to get up out of Golden State because Klay Thompson is just playing horribly. I don't know if it's because he's worried about him getting a new contract and getting his money, or he's just in a real bad slump. But last night, he caught the ball, hit his first three, and then when I checked it again this morning, he went 1 of 8 from the three-point line. So then he just missed 7 straight threes. I think he had like 11 points in the game. It might have been less than that. But Klay Thompson does not look like the Klay Thompson that we know, that we've seen over the years. He just looks like a shell of himself. He looked like he was in his prime, and it's just all gone. Like he lost his, like the Monstars came and took his powers overnight, like in Space Jam. Like they snuck up, took his powers, and now they're off in some fantasy world playing basketball with his powers. That's what it looks like. While I don't think Steph is going to leave Golden State, and another conversation that came up on Twitter today as I was looking, because a lot of people were saying Steph has no help, this, that, and the third. And then, of course, there were some talking heads and just random people saying, oh, well, you guys kept saying that Steph is this and Steph is that, but Steph has always had great teams around him, especially them years where they were winning championships. He had Kevin Durant. He had if you guys know, 2015 through 2018, Sean Livingston was unstoppable from the mid-range. And he had Steve Kerr, and he always had breaks go his way, players getting injured, whatever the case may be. And people were like, well, now he knows what LeBron has felt like in them years where LeBron's team had no business being in the NBA Finals, but because of how great of a player LeBron was, he was able to drag him there. And now Steph Curry's kind of going through the same thing, and he can't even win in the regular season. So, like I've always said, it's levels to the superstar stuff. While Steph Curry is all-time great, the greatest shooter that God has ever created in the NBA, and surefire first ballot Hall of Famer, to me, like I've always said, it's LeBron James. And if you want to include Michael Jordan in that room, that's cool. And then it's everybody else. And Steph is in the everybody else category. While Steph is great, and Steph has beat LeBron in the finals, but that's been with an injured Kyrie, an injured Kevin Love, and then the next 2 years it was with Kevin Durant on his team. So for Steph, he's going to thug it out, man. He's going to have to figure it out. He's going to have to, you know, I know he's 35 and his legs ain't what they used to be. And he's getting older, getting, you know, long in the tooth and all of that. But for Steph, Steph wants to reaffirm his place in the top five, top 10 players in the NBA. Steph is going to start playing out of his mind. Draymond's gone for the foreseeable future, and it doesn't look like he's getting any help from Klay Thompson. So Steph's got to take 23s a game or 30 shots a game to win, then so be it. Do what you got to do, man. Do what you got to do. That's all I got for y'all on that topic. As always, like I say, I appreciate everybody that listens and tunes in, everybody that gets the notifications when I drop an episode. I appreciate it. To be honest with y'all, I wasn't going to record tonight because I don't feel the best right now. Y'all probably hear it in my voice. I don't feel the best. I've been tired all day. I didn't even want to go to the gym earlier, but I got up and went, and then I came home. I was laying in the bed, and I was like, I need to record, but I just don't feel like it. I just really want to sit here. But I came out here and I recorded for y'all because y'all listened, and I appreciate it, like I said. So we'll be back next week. I'll feel better tomorrow, you know, just having one of them days. But again, as always, I appreciate everybody that listens, that subscribes. And soon here, we're going to start getting more people on the show to give their takes and all of that. I want to get my boy Tim on the show because Tim is one guy that I talk football with. Tim knows stats. Tim knows a lot about football just from watching it and doing his own research about what he talks about. So I think him being on the show would be great for y'all to hear from his perspective. He's a Steelers fan. I want to get my boy Ray on. Ray is a big Eagles fan, but Ray knows what he's talking about. He played football in high school. He follows the game closely. I want to get my boy DeAnthony back on. His son Caden is growing up. I believe Caden's in middle school now, and Caden has been balling out playing football. if I'm not mistaken, I seen a picture. He's playing basketball now, so he's doing big things. So I want to get him back on the show. And I want to get my boy Paul back on the show because he's a Panthers fan. And I know he probably goes through it every Sunday looking at the Panthers scores like, how are we going to lose the game this time? Like, how is it going to be? So we'll get some more people on the show. But as always, I appreciate everybody for tuning in. I'll holler at y'all next week.